We say good evening as well. Welcome to the service. Brother Brian has requested that we read from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 27. And if we're just briefing down over that scripture there, by faith, Moses did quite a few things there that I believe here this evening that you and I have the same choices we can make. Who we will be called a son of, who we will choose to follow in that scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 27. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the children, with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. With the reading of the scripture on our minds, shall we reverently kneel for a word of prayer.
Good evening. I too greet each one of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank Brother Eric and all those who've been praying for me for Rhodes Grove. I need it. I'm starting to feel the pressure. I'm starting to feel my weakness. I want to be faithful to God. And also, I realize I represent this congregation as I go amongst other congregations that'll be gathered there. I don't want to shame God, and I don't want to shame you either. And I need your prayers. Don't forget about me the next couple of weeks. I've been working on a series of sermons. This is going to be the first of them, on the life of Moses. The life of Moses. And this evening's sermon title is Moses, a man caught between two kingdoms. Very little is said in Scripture about the first 40 years of Moses' life. We usually think of the life of Moses divided into three 40-year sections. From birth to the age of 40, his time in Egypt. From 40 to 80, his time in the wilderness. And from 80 to 120 years, the Exodus and his death. So very little is said about the first 40 years of Moses' life. But we do have this account that was read for you this evening in Hebrews. And it talks about two kingdoms. Moses, as a young man, was a man caught between two kingdoms. There was the kingdom of the world. All that had to do with Egypt. He was caught there. He was pulled that way. And then it's the kingdom of God and the Hebrew children, and he's caught. And Scripture tells us about it, that every Christian and non-Christian faces that today. In this world, there's two kingdoms constantly at war with one another. It can't be escaped. Two worlds, two kingdoms, always clashing. Colossians 1, verse 13 makes it very clear. God, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, that's one kingdom, and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. On our conversion, we're moved from one kingdom to another kingdom. We're moved from the powers of darkness and to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But yet these worlds keep colliding. These kingdoms are constantly at war with one another. The kingdom of the world, ruled by the prince of the power of the air, ruled by Satan. And what drives that kingdom? What's the motivating factor of that kingdom? Is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what drives it. That's where it gets its power. And the rewards of living that in that kingdom is the pleasures, temporal pleasures of life. Pleasures here and now. But the kingdom that's ruled by Jesus Christ is completely different. It's a different culture. It's a different king. It's a different way of living. That kingdom is motivated by love. That kingdom is motivated by submission, by obedience. It's not motivated by self like the kingdom of the world is. And the rewards of that kingdom are pleasures forevermore. And these two worlds are in constant contact, constant collisions with one another. James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." You see, there's no middle ground, at least not long term. There is no middle ground. Either you are in power of darkness kingdom, or you are in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. There's no middle ground. Jesus said, "Who is not with me is against me." And you know, even as Christians, we find ourselves fighting in that battle. We find ourselves at war within us. Will we follow God? Will we follow Jesus Christ? Or will we follow the world? Will we seek to serve Jesus Christ? Or will we seek to serve ourselves? And we make choices every day, all of us do, on who we will serve. One king or the other. And that battle is very clearly portrayed in the life of Moses. Moses was a man caught between two kingdoms. You know, I did say that very little is written about Moses in the first 40 years. But Moses, after he reached 80, the Bible is full of things about Moses. But we do know from Scripture that in his first 40 years of life, he made some clear decisions on who was going to be his king and which kingdom he was going to follow. And these choices are listed for us in the Scripture tonight. Verse 24, he chose to be a child of God rather than a child of Pharaoh. He chose to be part of the family of God instead of the family of the world. Verse 25, he chose a life of sacrifice, obedience, submission, rather than a life of pleasure. Verse 26, he had the eternal perspective. He chose a heavenly treasure instead of an earthly treasure. And verse 27, he chose to be part of the kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of Egypt. This evening, for a short time, we'd like to look at the early life of Moses. Moses as a man that's caught between two kingdoms. You remember the account. I'm not going to spend a lot of time leading up to it. You remember the account of how Joseph ended up in Egypt. How in his wisdom and his desire to follow God, he saved the Egyptians from dying of starvation. He saved his own people. When Jacob led his family, I think Scripture says 70 souls Jacob led to Egypt, and they were saved. The Israelites prospered in Egypt. But then there came a new Pharaoh. Scripture says there came a new Pharaoh, one that didn't know Joseph. And he was threatened by the prosperity, by the strength of the Hebrew children. And so he made a decree. He said, all the midwives waiting on these Hebrew women, if a baby boy is born, they're to be killed. But the midwives wouldn't do it, would they? They said, these Hebrew women are strong. They don't need a midwife. So then the Pharaoh made an edict that every son, every Hebrew son, shall be cast into the river. And that's the state when Moses was born. That's what the life was like for the Hebrews. They were in bondage. Their children, their sons were being cast into the river. That was the state of life when Moses was born. Verse 23 of our text tonight. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid for 3 months of his parent, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. You know, Moses' parents must have been wonderful parents. They defied the king. For 3 months, they were able to hide Moses. And it's very interesting, I think, here the reasons given in Scripture that they were able to hide Moses. It says here he was a proper child. Proper means beautiful. He was a beautiful child. I think he did look beautiful, probably. That's what it says. But I think it goes far beyond that. Far beyond that. Because every mother here, every grandmother here, you look at your children, grandchildren, you think, boy, that's the most beautiful baby. So I think it goes far beyond Moses being a good-looking baby. Exodus 2, verse 2, said he was a goodly child, well-favored, pleasant. But I think it goes far beyond that. In Stephen's sermon in Acts 7, 20, it says Moses was a baby that was well-pleasing to God. Well-pleasing to God. I believe that his parents recognized that God was sending a Savior, a deliverer, to them, and that Moses was the appointed one. I believe somehow his parents recognized that. The scripture was clear. Genesis 15, verse 13, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. And that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and after they shall come out with a great substance. 400 years they were to serve. I believe they knew that. And the 400 years were about up. Acts 17:17 also says that. It said, but when the time of the promise drew nigh, when the time of the promise drew nigh, when it was the correct time, when the fullness of time had come, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. I believe they knew that the time of the deliverance was nigh at hand. Secondly, Scripture says they hid Moses because they were not afraid of Pharaoh's command. They were caught between two kingdoms. Would they obey Pharaoh? Would they obey the king? Or would they obey God? They had to make a choice. Would they choose faith? Would they choose fear? How many babies were drowned in the Nile River? I don't know. I can imagine there were thousands. But here was one mother. Here was one father willing to make the right choice and deny Pharaoh. Scripture tells us here that these faithful parents hid Moses for 3 months until he could be hid no longer. Scripture tells us he was laid in an ark, waterproofed it inside and outside, and set his sister to watch. We assume it was Miriam. set Miriam to watch. Before we leave that scene of Moses in the bulrushes, I think it's worthwhile to note this word ark is only used two times that I know of in Scripture. Here for Moses' ark, and then in Noah's ark. You see, it was a ship, it was a boat, but it had no oars, had no sails, it had no rudders. It just floated and drifted by God's hand. Both of those arks had no way to propel themselves, but God propelled them in his providential hand. How long was Moses in the water? It was a question that came to my mind. I don't know the answer to that, how long Moses was there. But the appointed time, Pharaoh's daughter comes to wash. She sees the ark. She opens it. And Moses, the beautiful baby, cries out. And Pharaoh's daughter, her heart melts. She recognizes the baby immediately as one of the Hebrew children. She recognizes, I assume, as I thought about it, by his circumcision. He had the mark of the Hebrew children. I believe she recognized him by the way he was dressed, by his bedclothes. She knew immediately that this baby was one of the Hebrew children. And like the parents of Moses, Pharaoh's daughter had a choice. Which king would she believe? She was caught between two kingdoms. Apparently, she made up her mind quickly. Miriam asked Pharaoh's daughter if she could get a Hebrew woman to nurse the child, and Pharaoh's daughter said yes, and Moses' mother was hired, paid nurse, to take care of her own child. There's much about this account that the more I thought about it, it really wondered me. I have so many questions about it. Who was Pharaoh's daughter? You start researching that, there's a lot of no one seems to agree. Was this Pharaoh's daughter? This Pharaoh? A previous Pharaoh? Maybe she was a daughter of a previous Pharaoh and an older woman. Maybe her heart was heavy that she could never have a child. I don't know. Was Miriam already working for Pharaoh's daughter? That she knew her? She certainly had a lot of spunk to come up and speak to her. But the big question I have was, how long was Moses under the influence of his Hebrew mother and father? How long did they have to tell the baby Moses about the one true and living God? A lot of speculation. I assume at least 4 or 5 years. I don't know how long it was. But I do know that in that short amount of time, the faithful parents of Moses told him the truth about the one true and living God. They told him who he belonged to, whose child he was. We do know in Exodus 2, verse 10, the child grew and eventually was brought to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And then Scripture skips many, many years. What happened to Moses as a young man, as a youth? We don't know. We can speculate. Historians give different opinions. Josephus said he was actually trained and groomed to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. Can you imagine? He was going to be the ruler of all the world at that time. That's what he was being groomed for. Other historians say he was a great military man, a champion in the chariot races. Other historians say he was a great architect, the builder of many large cities. We do know from Acts 22, again from Stephen's sermon there, it says he learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Think of that. He learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Mathematics, science, astronomy, engineering, languages. He knew it all. He had it all. Says that he was mighty in words. What exactly that means, I don't know. I don't know if he was a good speaker. Later in life, he claimed he wasn't. Or whether that meant that he, when he said go, they went. He had power. And he was mighty in deeds. Moses had it all. He had all the material things anyone could want. He had wealth. He had power. He could fulfill any desire that he had. He had safety. He had security. He was free from the worries of the world. He had wealth. But you know, all must not have been right in Moses' heart. Can you imagine the struggle? There must have been turmoil. There must have been unrest. He knew he was a Hebrew. He knew that. And I believe by this time, he knew that he was called by God to be a deliverer. If you read in Acts 7, where he gets mad at the people not rising up when he had come to deliver them, he knew by the time he was an adult man that he was to be the deliverer of God's children. But now he knows all this, but he also has everything he ever wants. Everything he could desire. All the benefits of being an Egyptian citizen. He was caught between two worlds. And it was decision time. When he made the decision, I don't know. Was it building for years? I don't know. Did it happen suddenly? I don't know. But he came to a point in his life that he had to choose one or the other. He couldn't go on caught between two kingdoms. In our text this evening, verse 24 says, By faith Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When he had come to years, when he had matured, when he had wised up, Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 said, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked upon their burdens. Already he was calling them his brethren. Acts 7:23 says, when Moses was a full 40 years old, came into his heart to visit his brethren. I assume it was building over a series of years, the turmoil of having a foot in both kingdoms. And one day, he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And the decision was made. And he killed the Egyptian. Now you see, it was not only in private that the Hebrews were his brethren, but it was made public for all to know. Moses was a man caught between two kingdoms. Let's look at our text for this evening, verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It says, by faith, through faith, because of his faith, in the power of his faith, he was able to make the right decision. He was able to act. I'd remind you all what faith is. It's not just in your head. It's not just in your heart. Faith results in action, always. And by faith, Moses made a decision. Moses made a decision that affected his life and millions of others. He chose to reject Pharaoh. He chose to reject being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Think what it meant. Think what it meant. He knew he was a Hebrew. He knew he was one of the chosen people of God. He knew his life was dedicated and he was called to the service of the one true and living God. He knew he was set apart for a purpose. Yet there was another kingdom pulling against him. You see, as Pharaoh's daughter, he had it all. He had power. He had fame. He had wealth. He had it all. Egypt was the most powerful kingdom of its day, and of the most powerful kingdom of the day, Moses was at the top of that. Can you see the temptation that he faced? Can you feel the battle that was raging within him? I'm reminded of when Satan took our Lord on a high mountain and in a moment showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to our Lord, all power, all authority over all this I give you. All this glory I give you if you would but bow down and worship me. By faith, Jesus said no. By faith, Moses said no. What about you? What about you? The decision for us doesn't often come in one big swoop. We make it a little at a time. We make a decision to cheat on our taxes. We make a decision to lie. We make a decision to forge our timesheets. We trample on others to get ahead. We choose work and prosperity over church and family. Moses said, no, I reject it. I choose to be part of the family of God. Will you say that this evening? Verse 25, Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses chose a life of sacrifice rather than one of pleasure. Every decision we make, we know, has a cost. You learn it if you ever study economics. Economics 101, they teach you every decision has a cost. There are no free, in that class they say it's no free lunches. If you choose today to have chocolate ice cream, it costs you because you can't have vanilla or some other flavor. Every decision you make, everyone has a cost. Moses here counted that cost. He knew when he made the decision to follow God, that he would suffer affliction with the people of God. He chose God, he chose his people, he chose suffering, he chose enslavement, he chose persecution. Wow. We make that same decision, don't we, when we choose Christ? Scripture says we do, we have to. Yet if he would have chose the other side, he could be enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. We know there are pleasures in sin. Scripture tells us the way of the transgressor is hard. And it is. But there are also certain temporal pleasures, short-lived pleasures of sin. I think we've all experienced it at times. In counting the cost, Moses took the eternal perspective. He weighed it in a balance. On one hand was God's people, and the persecution and the hardships would be but a short time. On the other hand, Pharaoh's world, the good times would be short-lived, but he would face an eternity without God. Think of it. Moses chose to suffer affliction. How long did he suffer affliction with God's people? 80 years. 80 years he was part of God's people in this world. Yet now, 4,000 years later, he still experiences the pleasures everlasting. 4,000 years later. And is there any wonder he made that decision? To suffer with God's people for a short 80 years, to experience 4,000 plus years with God. Every man, every woman must make that decision. Either you take the pleasures of sin for a season, or you choose an eternity of bliss with God. Every believer must have that eternal perspective. You have to choose. Which one do you want? You can't have them both. Do you want your pleasures now? Your riches now? Your land and houses now? Your vacations now? At the expense of the eternal. Moses chose the eternal perspective. Will you? Verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Here again we see Moses counted the cost. The word esteemed is used. It means he weighed the options. He calculated it. And he chose the reproach of being a Christian. Reproach of Christ. Somehow, I don't know how, Moses here lived 1,500 years before the Messiah came, was able to look ahead to a Messiah he never met. And he chose the Messiah. He chose God's people. He chose suffering. He chose persecution. He chose mistreatment rather than all the treasures. All the treasures of Egypt. He weighed the two treasures. Will he choose God's people and the Messiah? Or will he choose the treasures of Egypt? He chose, Scripture says here, he chose Christ. He chose the reproach of Christ as a greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Means he valued it. The reward was much more than all the treasures of Egypt. Christ is far more valuable than anything this world has to offer. Paul Paul says in Romans 8, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I tell you this evening, absolutely nothing this world has to offer is of more value than a life lived for Jesus Christ. Nothing. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Weigh the balance this evening for yourself. The psalmist did. He chose Christ. Paul did. He chose Christ. Moses did. He chose Christ. Which one will you choose? The pleasures of the world that'll last but a short time, or pleasures forevermore? Verse 27. "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." By faith, Moses chose the kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of Egypt. I would call special attention to that word forsook. He forsook Egypt. He not only left it, but he forsook it. He didn't keep a foot in each camp. He didn't leave it and long to go back to it. He forsook it. He wholeheartedly committed to the invisible kingdom of God. What a lesson for us. In those baptismal waters, we renounce the old kingdom and our old king, Satan, and all his pernicious ways, all his subtle and harmful ways, and all for the sinful pleasures of the old kingdom. We say, "I renounce it." But do we forsake them? We say we want no part of them. But do we forsake them? Do we put them out of our thoughts and out of our minds and out of our hearts? We say we renounce the old kingdom, but at times it rears its ugly head in our lives. We say we renounce the old kingdom, and yet we watch movies and videos, perhaps that have little modesty in them at all. Movies and videos of violence and hating and lust. We say we renounce the old kingdom, but yet we go out there and strive every day to make another dollar, to get ahead just a little bit. We say we renounce the old kingdom, but yet you couldn't tell it by the way we dress. We say we renounce the old kingdom, but yet we say such unkind words. We gossip. There's bitterness in our hearts. We're full of envy and full of pride. Yes, we renounce that old kingdom, but yet all too often I keep a foot in each one. And a Christian cannot live long like that. The Bible speaks of carnal Christians. I don't believe long term there is any such thing. The Bible speaks of worldly Christians. Yes, short term. But long term, the stress is too great. you'll be like Moses and you're pulled in too many different directions. And eventually you'll have to choose one or the other. Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time that it is now, I'm sorry, I'll start over. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Prophet Elijah challenges people in 1 Kings 18. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long will you halt between two opinions? How long will you keep a foot in each camp? If the Lord be your God, if the Lord be your king, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Oh, brothers and sisters, we'd be much further ahead, and I include myself. It's not. If we, like Moses, would not only renounce Egypt, but if we would forsake it and leave it and get out of it. Moses, in his first 40 years of his life, I believe that describes it the best, a man that is caught between two kingdoms. I can't imagine that terrible burden that was on his heart. Which way should he go? What should he do? Who's going to be his people? Who's going to be his king? It must have been a tough and miserable life, but eventually he made the correct choice. By faith, Moses trusted in God and followed him. May God bless you.
Let's stand for prayer.